Sometimes when you're stressed out, you need some help to relax. And last week, after travel and teaching and live shows, I really needed something a bit more extra to help me take the edge off. Luckily, a package from Kama Sutra arrived, and inside was the Chari, a compact vibrator that has twin motors, one in each adjustable ear, and damn, that rabbit is body safe, whisper quiet, easy to use, and impossible to resist. More on Kama Sutra and how to save on all that goodness later on in the show.
I've never fit, but I won't complain and I won't quit. I am enormous, get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be.
Hi there, and welcome to the Body Storytelling Podcast. I am sexual folklorist Dixie Delatour, and this is episode 66 of the podcast. How's your week going? I hope you're having a story-worthy week. I have had a really busy week this week with a show on Thursday and then a storytelling retreat here in San Francisco all weekend. Still recovering. But there's nothing like having people find their stories while you work together on them and then have them write at the end of the workshop that they learned. One survey said, I learned more about the nature of story here in this room than I did in 4 years of studying creative writing. I learned more about storytelling, and I also learned more about how stories connect others. And that made me feel pretty powerful and kind of smart. And who the fuck doesn't want to feel smart? And then, in addition, on Thursday night, we had body storytelling here in San Francisco. At the end of the show, this adorable couple came up, male-female couple, and told me that they were there on their first date at body storytelling. And she had told him she was a big fan of the podcast and had assigned him homework for him to listen to a bunch of episodes. And he was telling me what he thought of the podcast and about the live show, his first experience of it. And she told me, you know, I've listened to every episode of the podcast. And I said, really? Every episode? Because this week's episode, last week's episode, went out late because of a blizzard in Denver, where podcast producer Marty Garcia lives. So it went out later than usual. I said, have you listened to that one? She goes, no, I haven't listened to it yet. I'm like, see that guy across the room? There's this shaggy looking attractive man with a gray hoodie on. See that guy? That's Faye Romero from the podcast episode you haven't heard. So why don't you go talk to the storyteller before you go listen to it? And she went over, she talked to him and came back. And I said, okay, why don't you guys go home? Put it up in the car and listen to the episode. You just met the person in the story. You just came to a live show. I find that the experience around the stories really makes it more fun for me. It makes it more three-dimensional. I don't know if that's true for them. I'd love to know. But this week's story on the podcast is one that has a little bit of a different dimension to it because of what happened after the storyteller got off stage. Are you ready for the story for this week's episode? This is a classic story. It was told on stage years ago, but it's one of my favorite backstories because a bunch of things happened because this storyteller got on stage and told her story. I put out the theme was Size Queen, and I got an email from someone I didn't know who told me her story, and it was one I'd always wanted, a story from a giantess. It's hard to find people to tell those stories. And so I was very excited. We started working together and she got on stage and told her story. I'm going to tell you a little bit more afterwards. Meanwhile, just listen to the story. This is Janice in the City.
So I know I'm tall. I'm really awkwardly, amazingly tall. I've been taller than everyone else all of my life. I've been 6'4 since I was 13 years old. This means I've grown quite accustomed to everything that comes with that. So when I walk down the street, I get lots of comments. My favorite is usually from someone in the Tenderloin going, "Damn, bitch, you're tall," or "Can I climb me that mountain?" I get those a lot. Or, you know, just things like buying shoes I have to do online. They don't make them in my size. Things like that. But what I never imagined was that being tall would mean that someday Legos would be a part of my sex life. But I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. So growing up in a small farming community in southern Missouri near the Arkansas border meant that anybody who was different was an outsider. And being 6'4", among many other things that made me an outsider, meant that I was called names and I definitely wasn't accepted. I was called Sasquatch and Bigfoot. I was made to feel like a monster most of the time. And at 17, all I really wanted was to be a pretty girl. And even when I was included, I was a jock or one of the guys. And I knew I wanted out. You know, I was applying for colleges. I was doing what I could to get out. So when my mom brought home my first computer and it came, I'm hoping the audience is the right age here. I think it is. When it came with that CD that said AOL on it, I dove right into those chat rooms. If you're here and you don't know what a chat room is, in the interest of time, turn to the person next to you and ask them. So I spent most of my time in 20-something singles. I was 17. City folk. I had never been outside of Arkansas or southern Missouri. And I found a home in tall people. And in tall people, and I enjoyed flirting with lots of people. That was great. But in tall people is where I met Manuel. Manuel and I started talking and chatting, and we exchanged pictures and very quickly moved to the phone. And Manuel was fantastic. First of all, he was 6'3". From his pictures, he was the typical tall, dark, and handsome, but not too skinny, so he didn't make me feel huge. He had an incredible singing voice. He actually had a part-time gig as an Elvis impersonator, which was important because at that point in my household, Elvis was one of the only artists that wasn't gospel or country that I was actually encouraged to listen to. And he loved tall women, which was great. But most importantly, Manuel was the first male ever to tell me I was beautiful. And I fell head over heels for Manuel. So we very quickly arranged for him. Manuel lived in Richmond, Virginia. And we very quickly arranged for him to come visit me. And there were no real airports near my town. So he flew into Memphis, which also happens to be the home of Graceland, where the king lived, which was convenient for Manuel. So this is about a 5-hour drive, and my mom, knowing that this wasn't going to be a discussion, drove me down there, or I drove, she sat. And we went to the airport, and we were waiting at the gate, because you could do that then. And I saw him come off the plane, and I immediately recognized him. That's my Manuel. Except he was a little bit shorter, and he had a little bit more of a bouffant than I really expected, and he was a whole lot bigger than I thought. And I thought, oh my God, I'm in love with an obese Hispanic Elvis impersonator. But he's my obese Hispanic Elvis impersonator. And so we took Manuel home to southern Missouri, and we had this great few days like of a date, and we did all these really cutesy little things. We were both totally broke. And we went to this amusement park, and they played this Disney song. Like, it was some, I don't know, they were playing like the Sleeping Beauty theme song, and we like waltzed to it. Like, it was totally cute. Like, we danced in the middle of this total crowd, and I was 17. Like, I thought this was like rom-com stuff. And I just fell. And so over the next couple of months, we had 3 or 4 visits that were fantastic. And about our 5th visit, he told me he wanted to marry me. And in the next sentence, said that he wanted to make love to me. And I was a good little Christian girl. I was saving myself for marriage. So I called my mom and asked her if that was okay. So after Mama said yes, I... I got down on my knees by the bedside at the Baymont Inn and Suites of Springfield, Missouri. And I said to God, you know, if this isn't right, give me a sign. And when nothing happened, I said, sure, let's go for it. And much like many of you women out there, I'm sure, my first time was neither satisfying nor memorable. In fact, none of my relationship with Manuel was satisfying. We were together 10 months and I didn't orgasm once, just a note. And I was too young to know that that didn't matter, or that that did matter at the time. But so a few bumps and grunts later, like, we finished, and we continued along that method for a few trips. But I noticed each time, like, he was starting to look away a little bit more. He was becoming more distant. It was taking him longer to come. And so at some point I asked him, I said, you know, I feel like you're not into me. What am I doing wrong? Like, teach me. You know, he's 24, by the way. I'm 17. Teach me. So he tells me he has a fetish. He tells me that a true fetish is when somebody can't actually come unless they're participating in or thinking about the object of their fetish. And he tells me that his fetish is something called a giantess fetish. After he tells me a little bit about it, I'm thinking, oh my God, this is amazing. There's a community of like 1,000 men out there who like tall women. This is awesome. But then I learn a little more. So a basic giantess is, you know, you're like Attack of the 50-Foot Woman, or you guys remember the premiere, like the intro to Suddenly Susan with Brooke Shields, where she's kind of walking around and peering into the buildings? That was actually a giantess fetishist, and he's like a total hero in the community for getting that up on primetime TV. It's a big deal. So that's like your normal giantess, but then there's your mega giantess. And a mega giantess can be any size above that, and she usually like stomps on cities and like she can crush anything. Manuel's particular thing was that he was really into mega giantesses, but he wanted to control them, not be crushed by them. And so he introduced this to me by introducing me to Janice in the City. Janice in the City was the first real giantess story that was published on the internet. So it was really widely distributed back in the dial-up days. And Janice was this beautiful California girl who was out swimming in the water when an earthquake happened and these vapors came up and they changed her and transformed her into an 800-foot-tall woman. And she starts walking around, and because it's written by a man, all of a sudden she gets really horny and wants to fuck everything in sight. And so she like starts grabbing skyscrapers and like putting them up her vagina, and like it goes into great detail about all of the people who die a death of based on her like cervical muscles. And then she like eats them, and like it's this amazingly sexy story if you get over the patriarchal society within it. But so after a while, reading the story wasn't enough. So Manuel requested that I buy some 6-inch heels. For reference, these are 4-inch. I don't own 6-inch heels anymore because I can't walk in them. I was 17. And he would have me stand naked and read the story to him. Awesome. There were many other stories too. Janice goes and gets her friend Pam and takes her into the vapors, and they like have fun with the buildings and whatnot together. Right? So at one point I go to visit Manuel in Richmond. And I get there and I notice that he has set up this elaborate Lego city. And there are Hot Wheel cars lining the streets. And he asks me to tell him my own version of the story. And so at first, I'm kind of, you know, shy about it, and I walk around trying not to step on anything, but I'm pretty klutzy myself, and I kind of step on something, and then I get kind of into it, because, like, my man is sitting there on the bed, and he's watching me. So I step on a car by accident first and probably, like, trip and almost fall. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm stepping on that car. And then I'm like, yeah, I'm going to put my heel through that house. yeah, you want me to do that? And then he's like, pick up a building. And so I like reach down, and I pick up this skyscraper, and I hold it. It's like Lego skyscraper. And I tell him what I'm gonna do with it. And he's totally into it, and I'm so excited. I'm like watching him, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm getting my man off finally. Like, this is awesome. And I'm freaking horny because he's all into it, right? And then he comes and goes to sleep. And, you know, I'm 17. I'm not very good with my hands yet. And I kind of look down at this pointy skyscraper Lego thing. And I decide to put it down and go to bed frustrated. I'm really enjoying the power of watching him like this, but I wake up in the morning and I realize that Manuel was watching my shoes. And he was watching the Legos, and he was watching my muscles, but he wasn't ever watching me. And this starts to sink in, but we have another trip coming up. Christmas is coming. And he's supposed to fly in on Christmas Eve, and we're gonna spend it in Memphis. There's a blizzard. It's a 5-hour drive to Memphis, and everybody tells me not to drive down there. And I'm headstrong. It doesn't matter what my parents say. I drive anyway. It takes me 10 hours to get to Memphis. I get to the airport wearing an entirely inappropriate black napkin thing and my 6-inch heels, and I go wait at the gate for my boyfriend. After having spent all of my savings from a part-time job to buy him this $200 collectible Elvis ornament, stupid thing that he really wanted. And he doesn't get off the plane. His flight comes and he doesn't get off. And so I go talk to the gate agent and she says he never boarded. And so I go to the payphone and I call him and he answers in Richmond, Virginia. And he says, oh, my flight was canceled. And I'm like, no, your flight just came in. So there's a little bit of an argument, but I get a hotel for the night. He comes in the next day and he's really excited to give me my Christmas presents. And I'm so excited to give him his. And he has three, and I'm feeling really inadequate because I only have one present for him. So he gives me the first present, and it's a pair of 6-inch heels. And I'm like, oh, there's a pair of 6-inch heels right there that I can't walk in. Great. And then he gives me the second present, and it's a WNBA Barbie, which is particularly apt because I've just turned down a whole bunch of college scholarships because I decided that I didn't want to play basketball professionally. And then I decide I'm going to give him my present because I'm really excited about it. So I give him this Elvis thing, and he's super excited but also had expected it. And he's like, thank you, that's great, blah, blah, blah. And gives me my last present, which he's super excited about and says that will give us lots of fun together. And it's a pair of weightlifting gloves so that we can work out together so that I can become a bodybuilder. And it just really sinks in. And over the next couple of days, like, I just realized that I am not beautiful to him. I am the closest thing that he'll ever get to a giantess. I'm happy to say that I was smart enough to realize that sooner rather than later, and I got out of that relationship within the next month. And I'm super happy being 6'4 now. But for the record, it's been 15 years since Manuel, and all of my best orgasms have come from men shorter than me who didn't give a damn how tall I was. Thank you.
I understood loneliness before I knew what it was. Saw the pills on your table for your unrequited love. I would be nothing without you holding me up. Now I'm strong enough for both of us. Both of us, both of us, both of us. My shoulders tell
Was Calvin Harris and Rag & Bone Man with Giant. So I want to tell you a little bit about the backstory of the story. Janice in the City got on stage, told her story, and afterwards, a few days afterwards, we found out that someone had surreptitiously recorded her story. We were a little upset about that. I believe strongly that people get to control their story and where it goes, and your story does not leave my building unless you have given me permission. We found that the video was up on the Giantess forums. There are forums of people who fantasize about women of incredible strength and size. And it's a very popular fetish. And it had had tons of views. And a surprising conversation happened between the main character, the boyfriend in this story, and Janice. It led to a whole new revelation. He said he learned so much from his behavior in that story and hearing her tell that story. And this amazing discussion started happening on the forum from one man admitting that he felt uncomfortable about how his fetish objectifies women. And it led to other people thinking about the feelings of the characters they'd been fetishizing for a long time. Some defended it and some said, yeah, empathy. I don't know that I'd want to feel that way. I don't think I'd want people to think I was just a two-dimensional being. I have feelings, and my feelings might be hurt by not having them taken into consideration. Janice told me that video started this incredible feedback loop of beautiful, open, and honest communication. Taught her a lot about how the world works. And she was so amazed to have been part of a conversation that hadn't happened before. And that happened because she got on stage at Body. And then, because that video was posted in the Giantess forums, I got an email from the guy who wrote Janice in the City. It was a stage name, and the reason she chose that stage name is it is a very well-known character in the stories on Giantess forums and in Giantess erotica. About a week after that video went out, I got this email, and it said, "Howdy, I'm not sure if this email address is appropriate for this kind of thing, and if not, my apologies. Folks recently pointed me to the Janice in the City at Body storytelling video. I'm the author of that particular story, and I would like to pass a brief message along to the young lady who related her experiences. First off, she's a fine storyteller in her own right, and it was a lot of fun listening to her. She also wins an award for being my most surreal experience to date. I know my works have been an introduction to the fantasy for a number of people over the years, but that's never hit home quite as hard as it did while listening to her. I applaud her courage for speaking public about it, and I'm glad she got through it with her wit and humor intact. I hope she always feels as big as her heart obviously is. And it's signed Grildrick, the author of Janice in the City. She and I had a conversation. We went to the Giantess forums. We looked at the conversation that was going on. We asked them to be respectful. And that video that was done without her permission wasn't fair. But she said, this changes everything. I feel like I want my video out there in the world. So we produced that video. And you can see it on our YouTube channel. Go to youtube.com/bawdystorytelling. And you can watch Janice in the City telling her story for the first time. That moment is captured on stage on YouTube. Let me know what you think. Want to get better at making love? Well, Kama Sutra has been making love better since 1969. They were one of the first companies to create foreplay products. I mean, they got 50 years of pleasure under their belt, and experience is sexy. Kama Sutra is famous for their Weekender kit. Inside their durable, compact travel tin, you'll get their original Oil of Love, just enough portions of their Spearmint Pleasure Balm, Love Liquid, Sweet Almond Massage Oil, and yes, that delicious Honeysuckle Honey Dust with its handcrafted feather applicator. I have no idea how they get all that to fit so easily into my carry-on, but as someone who travels, I love how all of that fits into that cute little tin. Right now, just because you're bawdy, you'll get 20% off anything you order when you use the promo code Dixie. On vibrators like the Chari, I mean the things you can do with the ears on that rabbit, on their bath products, on anything. Go to kamasutra.com and use the code DIXIE at checkout to get 20% off. Want to know a secret? Professional storytellers are notoriously Luddite. We're not that great with tech. There are exceptions, but I am not that exception. And that is why I'm so grateful for your support on Patreon. Patreon, which is spelled PATREON.com, is a way for you to help me cover the costs for technical staff. This show has been around for 12 years, but it's been a live stage series. It's been a podcast for a little over 2 years now because you've been supporting me on Patreon, helping me pay podcast producers and getting web hosting and all of the other expenses that come up. The help that I need so that you can have this podcast wherever you are. And that will only happen if you support us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/bawdy, B-A-W-D-Y, and support us at whatever level you can. That means you get to listen to this podcast in Australia or Des Moines or London or the other places that I'm getting fan mail for what we have. They want the live show there too. And when we have the support, we'll be expanding so that we can take the show to new cities and help you build community in the city that you live in. Till then, I've got the podcast, and you can help keep the podcast going by going to patreon.com/bawdy. Thanks for your support. Just like that young couple discovered earlier this week in the story I told you at the top of the episode, there is nothing like a live bawdy storytelling. The podcast is great. You get to hear the stories. You get to hear an accompanying song. You get to hear my melodic voice. But you don't get to meet strangers and tell them stories and play bingo and ask them questions and learn about people and get to drink cocktails with sexy names and build community. You know, being in the room with other people listening to these stories, to watch the people be terrified on stage and do it anyway, it's life-changing. I wouldn't be doing it for this long if it weren't. So I'm going to tell you about upcoming live shows for Bawdy Storytelling. In Seattle, we're doing a special Saturday night show on April 13th. It's called the Groupon Extravaganza. There's a dash in Groupon. It is not a coupon for a massage or some sushi. It is a big Saturday night show related to group sex and unicorns. And I have a bunch of special stuff that I'm planning because we have a whole Saturday night. So that's going to be in Seattle. You can find tickets at bawdystorytelling.com/shows. Our next Seattle show will be May 9th, and that will be Libertine. Libertine is a really fun theme that we've done before. It's interesting to see how people interpret the theme. If you want to pitch me a story, I'm Dixie at BodyStorytelling.com. I'd love to have you on stage in Seattle. And then right after that, on May 11th and 12th, I am doing my Storytelling with Dixie live weekend storytelling retreat in Seattle. It was sold out hard with a waiting list in San Francisco. The price will go up soon, so get on our website and get tickets. I'd love to have you register. I would love to work on your story with you in Seattle. Got a really cool venue that we're going to be working together all Saturday and Sunday, so sign up now. Let's talk about San Francisco. San Francisco on April 18th, the theme is gateway drug. Never done that theme before. I'm getting a lot of pitches for it. Sometimes when I come up with a new theme, I hold my breath and go, are they going to respond to that? And people are responding to that. But the lineup is not locked down yet, so send your story, Dixie at BodyStorytelling.com. And then May 17th, holy shit, y'all. I like to do a big blowout for my birthday. My birthday is on May 14th. So on May 17th, I'm going to be doing Unicorn Fest. It is the 10-year anniversary of the Unicorn Raffle that got me shut down for soliciting on PayPal. I tried to explain to them, the only thing these unicorns have to do is tell stories. It's a storytelling event, but didn't work out last time. Let's see how it works this time. We'll all find out together. So May 17th, 2019, Unicorn Fest in San Francisco at the Verity Club. This is special. Get a ticket. Get on a plane. Come hang out with us. And be sure to come up and say hi to me in person. That's my favorite thing. It's time to say thank you. Thank you to podcast producer Marty Garcia, to project manager Dana Hanna, to video archivist Joe Moore. Joe Moore put up the video for Janice in the City that you're probably watching this week. To sound engineer David Grossoff. Thank you to you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for getting out there in the world and telling one friend about this podcast. If that one friend tells one friend, this podcast will grow. And the more it grows, the more likely it is to continue. Tell a friend. Tell them a story. And I'll be back next week with another episode of the Body Storytelling Podcast. Here's a peek at what's next.
And so I'm walking out of the parking garage, feeling my tail sway behind me, and thinking about all the stuff that I'm wearing that I felt like I've never done this before in public. I'm so exposed and vulnerable, and it's something that always felt right to me in private. It's my first time finding out how it felt in public. And not 5 minutes into the walk, some guy in a car comes swinging by and goes, "Meow, kitty!" And it's like, oh my God, I was just catcalled as a cat. Yeah!